Oh, God.
Hey, Mike. Whoa, you look like shit, man. What happened?
Ryan and I stayed up late last night doing tequila and live wire shots.
Tequila and live wire? Are you nuts?
I know. I think I might need a liver transplant, too.
Why the hell were you guys drinking so much last night, anyway?
That's the thing. I can't remember. Ryan was celebrating something. I think it had to do with him being off today. I remember him saying, "Thanks for biting the bullet for me, Mike. Here's to you, buddy. Try not to get killed." And then we took our first shot, and that's where everything gets hazy.
Huh. Well, can't imagine what he meant by that. Anyway, I appreciate you coming in today, Mike. A lesser man would have used one of his sick days.
We don't have sick days, Dave, and you know it.
Yeah, good old Sector 2. Non-OSHA compliant for 40 years and counting. Ah, Jackie, thanks for filling in for Ryan today. I really appreciate it.
Like, I have much of a choice. It's either stay in the vents that reek of your horrible chili or come down here and watch another Friday the 13th movie.
Oh, no. Not again!
You didn't know? Today's Friday the 13th, pal. You know what that means by now, right?
But what about the Hot Summer Film Fest thing? I thought we were going to watch that movie about the mermaid in the swimming pool. Aqua something. What about the mermaid movie, Dave? What about the goddamn mermaid movie? Answer me, you son of a bitch!
Sorry, Mike. Friday the 13th takes precedence over any store promotion we may have going on. You knew the rules when you signed on to this job, buddy. That reminds me. Jackie, since you're officially filling in for Ryan today, let me just give you your temporary employee lanyard.
Damn you, Ryan! Okay, let me see. How much PTO do I have? All right. I want to take off the next 5 occurrences of Friday the 13th.
Sorry, Mike. Ryan already thought of that. And until we get more employees to cover shifts, I'm afraid you're stuck here talking about Jason. Again.
This is bullshit! I thought Jason died at the last one we watched anyway.
Wait, you mean you don't know the rest of the tale?
Oh, here we go!
Well, strap on your paintball gun and prepare to have a wild ride in a recreational vehicle, because I'm about to tell you the tale of Friday the 13th, Part 6. Jason Lives!
So, does this mean I get free rentals now?
Free rentals, unlimited popcorn, and 3 bottles of Mountain Dew Live Wire per shift.
Nice.
In the not-too-distant future, 4 movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our 4 heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
They thought the nightmare was dead and buried. They were wrong. Jason lives.
Happy Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, Part 6. Jason Lives, rated R.
Starts Friday, August 1st at a theater near you.
All right, that was Jason Lives, and Jackie, I'm your host, Dave. Thanks everybody for joining us. I know this is kind of an impromptu thing; it always is these Friday 13th episodes. I know everyone out there in the wasteland was looking forward to and expecting Aquamarine as our next episode, but you know, when Friday the 13th pops up, We must talk about it. It's the rules of the store.
Jason Lives. He's back.
Jason Lives. He's back. And he's the man behind the mask.
The man behind the mask, and he's coming for you. I really appreciated the amount of like original silly rock songs in this movie that are just like, you're almost making out in the woods.
That was Alice Cooper?
Almost exclusively Alice Cooper.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
Well, they set the scene perfectly.
I'm just Dave. I'm joined again by Jackie.
Camp counselor Jackie, yeah.
Yep. And temporary employee of the store.
Yeah. Thank you for the lanyard, by the way.
I'm sorry that it said dead meat in little asterisks on the thing. I'm sorry.
No, I get it.
That's usually what we put down for temporary employees. They usually end up dying anyway. And also a stalwart employee, Michael.
Hello.
Mike is begrudgingly back. But Friday the 13th.
We could have been watching Aquamarine.
Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. This is one of my favorite Friday the 13ths, if only because I feel like it's one of the few that plays around with it plays around with the series in a bit, and insofar as it doesn't take itself seriously at all.
Yeah, it knows what it is at part 6, and it's having fun.
It knows what it is, and I think it's an entry. I think the writer and director, Tom McLaughlin, knew that, okay, this. When you get into the sixth entry of a franchise, it's like you're at that point where you're like, what else do we do? You know what I mean? It's like Fast and the Furious is like, well, you know, we already had that thing with the vault, the bank safe, and like driving it around and like on a tether. Like, what else can we possibly do? Well,
what could we possibly do? I don't know. How about anything? How about fucking anything we want?
How about we have kids at the camp now?
Whoa.
How about we actually have a summer camp in this movie about summer camp stuff?
Where it's a play on the form, where this time the camp is being used for children to go to camp.
Only about 12 to 16 kids, too. It's kind of a small camp.
Okay.
It's very exclusive.
We can talk about this camp. I know it was the 80s.
Let's get into the camp.
But I...
Well, before we get into the movie, I'm kind of curious because, Jackie, this is your first Friday the 13th episode since the first one. A while ago. That was way back when Ryan died the first time. So a lot has happened since then. I'm kind of curious.
That was also when Jason had only died once.
Exactly.
Have you not been on the other specials?
I think so, no.
I'm kind of curious.
Even though I was listening and watching from the vents, obviously.
As always, which is always scary. You're basically I'm always thinking of you like in the sense of like Jason's mom hiding in the forest, and like you'll see a hand kind of pull down a branch and spy, you know.
I'm also wearing slacks, so the whole time.
And a sweater at all times.
And a sweater.
But I'm kind of curious, if I recall the first one, you had not seen any of the Friday the 13th movies at that point. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you hadn't seen a ton of slasher movies in general, right? Maybe just the big ones?
I believe that's true. Yeah, I've seen like the first Nightmare on Elm Street and like at that point, that was my first
Halloween.
Halloween. Just very few of the, as we talk about, the sequels, which obviously get increasingly silly in all of these. But I'd seen the kind of like actually scary nuggets.
You hadn't
in
seen
there.
The meat and potatoes slashers.
No, which I appreciate as they're two different things. They're going for two different responses. In the first one, you might actually the first one is silly for Friday the 13th, but you might get freaked out in some parts.
This is definitely more like the first one is at least like a horror movie,
and
or
this
like
one
ostensibly,
is
and this,
going
like,
for laughs.
You're like cheering along with the kills.
Oh, well, literally, I have a note that I wrote down from a quote from Michael when the kids first arrive at the summer camp. He's like, "I want to see him kill some kids."
Well, I had a question about that, which we can get into later. But I'm kind of curious. So since it's been a while, has your slasher movie acumen grown at all? Like, have you snuck any viewings in since then, or? Of just slasher movies in general, or the genre?
Well, you have seen more of the Friday the 13th now, at the very least.
That's true. I guess I've seen a couple more of the Friday the 13th, but I haven't necessarily been boosting my knowledge too much. But I've been thinking about this one compared to like some, some early 21st century, more like Saw type of things, and those kind of two groups of schlocky to, popular horror movies that also got many, many sequels. And I've never been interested in a Saw film because I know they've got some silliness to them in terms of like, my name's Jigsaw, do you want it? Like, it's stupid, it is. But it's also much more focused on the like, we're gonna torture this person and they're gonna be, this is gonna happen to them. And I don't want that. I'm okay with a big stupid zombie guy like twisting people's heads off because it's so dumb and silly and they're throwing like red corn syrup fake blood on all over the place.
It's not a 5-minute shot of the head slowly being
twisted. And it's not and it's just much more I don't know, stupid, and that's what I want from a horror movie.
So
this type.
You're saying you're a Jason Lives stan?
I kind of am. I like that he's back. I like, there are many films that are not brave enough to begin the film with an accidental resurrection.
Oh, can we talk about that?
Let's talk about it.
This movie wastes no time.
None at all. We are driving immediately to the graveyard. We are digging up a corpse. And guess what? Lightning is going to.
This movie is 86 minutes long, under an hour and a half.
It's not wasting your time. It knows your time is valuable.
It knows what you want to see. You want to see Jason live.
I love, though, that it does take the time to just linger on his maggoty corpse for, like, a long time. There's some like time filler there, I think, of just like, look at the maggot.
Hey, he is dead.
It looks good too. I thought they did a great job with
good
the
maggot work.
And all that. The maggots, yeah.
The bug
really
guy
cool.
They had on set, excellent.
Yeah, they really did a good job just dumping a bucket of maggots onto a body and filming it
onto
a
fake
while.
Corpse.
Yeah, it was a good looking fake corpse.
Anyway,
he looked dead.
He's super dead, but guess what? He's gonna live.
Well, I'm curious. So the last one we watched, we've seen the first one, the second one, and the fourth one. So, Mike, you saw the origin of this character in this movie, our protagonist, Tommy Jarvis, played by Corey Feldman in the fourth movie.
This is the one who at the end of the movie was like, oh, I know the secret. I put makeup on and pretend to be your mom.
Well, he pretended to be young Jason.
Oh, that's what he was pretending
to be. He shaved his head, and then he, like, butchered him with his machete.
Right.
Cool.
And so now he's come back to be like, I need to make sure you're definitely... What happened in 5? Because I guess we missed that.
Yeah, I wanted to fill in the gaps for you since we skipped a movie. Part 5 is pretty much universally renowned as one of the weaker sequels in the franchise. Probably one of the worst. It's No Jason Lives. It's called Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning. And the hype for that movie initially was, well, shit, Part 4 ends with Corey Feldman having, like, there's this moment at the movie after he's killed Jason where they're in the hospital, he's with his sister and they hug, and the camera zooms in on his face and he kind of gives this stare like,
ooh.
Is he the new Jason? He went crazy. Like, is he going to be the new Jason?
He did have to murder a guy.
And on the poster, on the poster for Part 5, it shows a kid that looks like Corey Feldman holding machete, and it's something like, if the memory of Jason still haunts you, you are not alone. And suddenly you're like, is he going to be the new Jason? Long story short, no. long story short, there was a
he's not
an EMT driver whose son gets murdered at a halfway house. He goes crazy and dons the Jason persona and kills all the people in the halfway house, only to end up dying himself later. It's a forgettable movie, but there is some fun.
There's no Jason.
There's no real Jason.
Just the memory.
Fact, was not back yet.
Yeah, he
was
wasn't
still
back.
Dead.
He was still
dead. He didn't
dead.
Live.
Which begs the question in this movie, if you're Tommy Jarvis. Well, here's the thing with this movie. Tommy Jarvis is responsible for all of the death in this movie. Everything is his fault.
That is true.
Yeah, he should have just left well enough alone.
He had to stab that corpse repeatedly with a giant iron spike.
In the middle
though.
Of a lightning storm. Yeah. He should have known.
I love when we get there and Jason's grave, we were remarking on this, is like somehow 500 years old.
Oh, yeah,
the grave is so fucked up.
His gravestone is like so like movie prop gravestone.
And he's got,
it's like all cracked. And
the shittiest coffin there's ever been, which is why his corpse is just only maggots.
There's not even like a born on and died on date. It just says
no,
it's just Jason Voorhees.
Jason Voorhees.
Fucked up guy.
It's like literally a prop you would get at like a Spirits Halloween store or
yes.
something, you know? It's very generic looking.
Yeah, there's no like beloved son or...
Hey, if nothing else, he was a beloved son.
Well, it also makes me wonder, just like, and this is kind of addressed like in the Chattopedia trivia, but it's like, who would go to the trouble of burying Jason in the
yeah.
first place?
And I guess putting up a gravestone.
If someone yeah. had to pay for that gravestone.
I guess there was like a deleted portion of the script. I don't think it ever got filmed that involved Jason's dad. Like Jason's dad taking care of the burial, but that was never filmed. It was kind of conceived, but it was never filmed.
That's
which
interesting.
Could have been interesting, yeah. But as it is, like, As this taking this movie for what it is, I don't mind it at all. It's this whole movie is silly and goofy, and
yeah.
the fact that he's resurrected Frankenstein style immediately by lightning, tips you
yeah.
off. Like,
yeah, I mean
this movie is dumb. Okay, I love it.
I mean, we should like say like so he's like his corpse is there, and it's Tommy and his buddy, and they're like there to
Tommy
well,
and his soon to be murdered
wait,
buddy.
Wait, Mike, let's do this officially. Chad, start the music. Okay, explain Jason Lives, Mike.
So Tommy and his buddy, who's definitely not going to die, are visiting the gravesite of Jason Voorhees to make sure he's dead. Because I got to see it with my own eyes.
And Tommy says a little later, he's like, I was going to cremate him.
he just wanted
to light
can,
this on fire.
And he's brought with him to make sure he's dead a gas can and like, I think like a whale harpoon.
No, that the giant spike he like tears the gate
off the
of the
fence.
Graveyard.
Oh, okay, that was impromptu. So
that was a crime of passion.
He opens up the coffin, you know, digs out the body, sees the dead body, but that's not enough for old Tommy. He's got to stab it with the
big iron spike,
I guess. And as he's doing that, lightning strikes the iron spike while it's in Jason, and as we all know, that brings a body back to life.
It makes you alive.
Even
and
though he's
stronger
been,
than you were before.
Yeah.
Well, he's yeah,
unstoppable,
he's been dead
yeah.
for like 10 years probably.
Yeah, what is the time difference supposed to be
well, I
between
guess we're thinking little kids
four
to where this guy
and,
is now. Probably like 20 years actually.
Well, how old is I don't know. That's the other thing with this movie is every
when does this take place?
Does
this take
this?
Place in like 2000?
Yeah, this is a future this is a sci-fi movie. But every person in this movie who is not like a police officer or a child camper, I have no idea how old they are. They could be 16, they could be 36,
under 40, above 15,
but like there's really no way to pin anyone down. It's the 80s. They're all styled like middle-aged. Yeah,
that was on the casting call sheet, like
early middle age only.
Above 15, less than 40.
Does not matter where you fall.
Yeah, so Jason lives. So Jason lives. And he...
It's all Tommy's fault.
He kills the friend immediately and throws him into the coffin. And
He does a Kano fatality on him.
Yeah, just sticks the hand through him. It was pretty good. Tommy tries to light Jason on fire, but it's raining and that's not going to happen. So he just escapes and goes to tell the cops, like, hey, Jason lives!
Jason lives, but guess what? They don't believe him.
And, yeah, and then Jason starts killing folks. And at Camp Forest Green, rebranded.
We've changed the name. No one wants to think about those murders.
Yeah, they've just changed
place.
The name of Camp Crystal Lake because...
And, like, the town of Crystal Lake. Isn't that part of it, too?
Yeah.
The whole
Which
town
me,
changed
it got me
its
thinking,
name.
I was thinking, like, in the back of my mind, the whole movie, like, Is there an has that ever happened? Like, has there ever been a town that's like, oh, like something awful happened and they're just like,
murders happened.
We just got to change the name of the town and like, hope we can't come back from this.
Well, it gets back to the question of the timeline of this movie. It's just like, how long would it take for a town to be renamed, rebranded, and for everyone in the town to basically forget what happened?
About all those murders?
Yeah, let's be real. If a guy like that, a killer that was presumed dead years ago, started killing, he probably killed like 20, 25 people in those first four movies.
It's just like horrifically, that was the whole point.
Horrifically, and that would be national news.
the local teenagers are like, he's Jason.
There'd be like Netflix documentaries.
Yes.
There would be 16 true crime documentaries about Jason.
Yeah. Even in the 80s, there would have been a movie about this. It would have been
like,
national
no, shut
news,
up about
like,
Jason.
All the I was wondering, like, okay, so
I think this movie takes place in like the 2010s. Just it has yeah. to, based on the
it
time difference.
It has to be. Tommy is 38 years old.
Well, it's weird. Like the Megan character, the sheriff's daughter, she obviously knows the story of Jason. Like when they get into the camp, like after they meet him.
Yeah, and they start talking about it.
They start talking. She regales like her friends with the story of Jason. And I'm just like, are her friends from out of town? Like, do they not know the story? Like, how do they not know the story?
I couldn't figure this whole thing out.
Like, even if this was something that happened in your town 40 years earlier, you would know about it. I'm sorry.
And also, if you're literally going to go be a camp counselor
yes!
at a place where some of these murders occur, you would know about this
for sure. For
well, the
sure.
murders occurred at Camp Crystal Lake. She's going to Camp Forest Green.
Oh, that's true.
It's a totally different place. Totally.
I also heard it was called Camp Blood.
How many murders happened at Camp Forest Green? Oh, none.
None. Zero.
I actually kind of like, we were talking about like stuff that this movie does differently. Like obviously it's blatantly funny. Like in addition to, so if you were unaware that this movie was kind of funny when he gets resurrected Frankenstein style, you sure as hell knew when it opens with the James Bond style.
Oh yes. I forgot about that. The other ones are like explosions and this one is
this
like,
one it's like, look, we're having fun.
We're having fun.
We're all having fun
dun,
here.
Dun.
He doesn't have a gun. He's got his machete, and he's going to slash at the screen.
Look, he's got a machete. He's literally going to slash, and it's going to be covered in the thickest cherry red corn syrup we've got.
And what's funny about this? I'm obviously watching it now as an adult. I know that like that's the signal to the audience to know like we're just going to have fun, folks. This is dumb. But watching it as a kid, I remember not having any sense of like, you know,
no
like,
frame of reference.
No
frame for
well,
that.
I don't, it's weird. I was a big fan of James Bond as a kid, but I didn't necessarily, I don't know if I necessarily connected the two. I just thought.
You probably thought as a kid, like, movies can't do that. Like,
it's like, it's just Jason. And it's like, oh, that was cool. Like,
why is he walking like that?
I don't remember thinking of that moment as being as funny necessarily. I think I just, as a kid, I'm like, yeah, it's another Jason adventure. And I'm in.
Hell yeah. He's throwing a knife.
Okay, he's back to life with the lightning bolt.
Okay, so he lives.
Okay, he's living. Oh, what's he going to
yeah.
do?
It got me thinking about watching this as a kid, and again, just like having no sense of that this was supposed to be funny necessarily. As a kid, I'm just like, it's Jason, and I'm on board. Like,
was this one you liked as a kid?
Oh, definitely. Because
did you like them all as a kid? Or were you just like, I love them all?
I did. I liked them all with the exception of the fifth one, because I remember that was one of the last ones I think I saw as a kid. I remember being so excited, only to find out at the end that, oh, it's not actually Jason. It's just some guy pretending to be Jason. Well, that's bullshit.
This is not my Friday the 13th.
Not my Jason. That was basically
not my Jason.
That was my, yeah, those are my memories as a kid watching these movies. But part six was a high point for me, and I think for a lot of other people. In fact, if you look at the Chattopedia, the writer of the Scream series, Kevin Williamson, cited this movie specifically as a huge influence on him writing like those Scream movies. Like to put.
I've never seen Scream. Is it funny? Like is
yeah,
it like
it,
a
well? It play. It's basically like satirizing the slasher genre and like doing like meta humor and stuff like that. So he cites this particular Friday the 13th as a big inspiration for him. Just infusing a series with a little bit of humor and doing something different.
I like that. And I mean, this definitely, like, I feel like this doesn't even really pretend to be, like, anything other than, like, a fun romp.
Yeah, it doesn't want you to scream. It wants you to, like, laugh and at certain points of tension maybe, like, gasp. But it's not trying to be, like, quote-unquote, like, serious horror movie. And there's also, like, in talking about slashers, like, the one... So, like a certain critique of like, oh, it's so stupid in like a bad way, as if it doesn't know what it's doing. And it's like, this movie knows what it's doing. It's doing it on purpose. It's just, don't take it seriously.
I actually think this movie also has like a bit better. I feel like the filmmaking in this one is a bit better.
There's some clever edits.
Clever edits, and especially with the comedy. And I feel like he, and in watching some of the special features, like he was really inspired. The director was really inspired by like Dracula and basically like gothic horror. So you'll see like almost every nighttime. I think every nighttime shot in this movie, there's mist like in the background or in the foreground. That he also cuts like in the cemetery scene. He likes to cut to a lot of like creepy looking statues and stuff. Like there's a bit
the
more
old
like
gravestone.
Old gravestones. There's like clearly references to old stuff like Karloff's general store and stuff like that. Boris Karloff.
Oh, that's funny.
That's cute. I like that. I didn't
Karloff's
even.
Karloff's general store.
Which is more
store.
Than you get. You know, like in maybe part two or three or five.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like there's someone who, this is around that period where like filmmakers of the time who grew up on these movies are like, this is like the period in horror movies and movies in general. And like these young filmmakers are like referencing all the fun stuff that they watched from the past, you know, because that's not something that like, people have talked about this on other podcasts I listened to, but like that's not something that really became a thing until the 80s. Like these young up and coming directors literally referencing these old movies in the past. You know what I mean? I thought
yeah.
that was kind of fun.
That is cool. I like that. Yeah, there's like clever edits here. It's very meta. Like there's like lots of lines that are like very self-referential. Like
and several straight to camera like deliveries.
Happy Friday the 13th.
I'm thinking of the
groundskeeper,
the head counselors
who
get killed pretty early on, and they're like driving in the woods and they see Jason, and the woman is like, if you've seen any movie, you know that a guy in this mask is scary.
Don't start. Ugh, so much for the head counselors ever getting back to the camp on their own. I say we stop the car, get out, and start screaming for help. I was just kidding, Elizabeth.
Darren, we'd better turn around.
Why?
Because I've seen enough horror movies to know any weirdo wearing a mask is never friendly.
Speaking of, it seems like most of the Friday the 13th movies we've watched, there's at least one actor in the movie that will later go on to do bigger things. And it's one of those people in that car, the guy, Tony Goldwyn. He would go on a few years later become the bad guy in Ghost, if you remember.
I thought he was familiar.
So he has not only been killed by Jason on screen, but he's been killed by like hell
shadow
demons.
Monsters.
Shadow
yeah.
monsters.
Oh, that's a good movie, Ghost.
Yeah, it's fun. It's self-referential. It's meta, and I like that it actually does some unique things. It goes back to summer camp. It has kids. I think that's the thing that kind of I honestly kind of view this movie. Almost like Jaws to a bit. There's like the degree of like the
okay.
In the sense of the story, like and plot points. Like there's the town that's like wants to forget about Jason and wants to ignore.
Oh yeah, okay.
You know, and then there's like the whole idea of like kids in danger and stuff like that. And Jason is basically just the shark, like just kind of roaming around, killing people at random. Like I kind of view
and we
it in
do
that
have
sense.
To kill him in the water. A
little. Yeah, you gotta kill.
He's
got to
go
water.
Home.
Yeah,
which makes
he,
no
he
sense.
Could
have, but...
at the end of that, he could have used a bigger boat. His boat was very tiny.
That boat was very little.
I was nervous the whole time.
How deep is that lake?
Yeah, right.
I think it's like 10 feet.
It seems if that.
Because Jason just, in one of my favorite shots in the movie, Jason just walks into the lake and just keeps walking until he's fully submerged.
It's pretty good. I love that, like, Jason, his whole thing is just walking at a medium pace. Like, he never runs. he doesn't swim. He just walks
at a medium pace, but he gets to where
he needs to go.
This must be the one where he starts teleporting, basically.
There's a little bit of that.
To get where he needs to go.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as you said, he just walks.
When we see him off screen, he's like running and like taking a cab.
He gets
but
on,
once
like,
he's
a
like, he has a little moped. Oh, I remember the shot of him standing on top of the RV when it's like on fire.
Yeah, man.
Just like standing there looking cool.
He's just, he in his head is thinking like, it's pretty fucking cool.
And that, like, that shot to me kind of signifies another building block of, or whatever you want to refer to it as, is this movie is completely different. Because that whole scene in the RV where he kills Court by sticking a knife in his side of his head.
What are you back there taking a dump?
Fucking guy.
We'll talk more about that in a second. But like the idea of like that RV crashing in this spectacular fashion and blowing up, to me that felt more like an action movie. Like it didn't, like I'm at that, like it's.
It looked expensive.
Yeah.
It looked expensive too, and it was really well shot and well done. And it didn't feel like something you would see in a Friday the 13th movie. Like, that's something you would see, like I mentioned earlier, Fast and Furious.
But they do flip a lot of cars on that one.
It's like, I don't mind it in this one because, again, it's so, when you're six entries in, you gotta start doing something different.
You gotta go big, do it, why not? But it's before a time where it's, you know, Jason's not in space just yet, for example.
Not just yet. No, he's got to get his action movie credentials.
Has he taken Manhattan by this point?
No, that would come two movies later.
Yeah, we're still at Forest Green. But yeah, should we talk murdering camp counselors, or let's talk the camp, because the whole setup, I've been a camp counselor, not at a sleepaway camp or anything like that, and I wasn't even, it was like a, you know, a summer gig by definition, but and there were people, I was 18 and there were other, you know, late teen, early 20s people working there, but there were also
Jason there?
No, and there were also plenty of real adults.
The fact
that this camp is like five ambiguously aged, you know, teens, whatever, and then two head counselors who are, by the time camp starts, like missing for 24 hours, and they're like, anyway, let's just
does not care
hang
at
out.
All.
Yeah, who gives a fuck?
I sympathize. He actually says something like, I don't have time to go around looking for missing people.
Yeah. What's your job?
What do you think? I'm a cop. What do you think I'm here
I'm
to do?
I'm not here to help people. And then they'll just go to the camp. They're like, Mom, that's weird. They still haven't showed up. No. Anyway, the kids are here. Like, who is the lady who dropped those kids off on the bus who says, like, they're your problem now? Does she work for the camp?
Now.
Is she just the bus lady? What the fuck's going on?
Yay, the kids are here. I'd rather deal with old Jason.
Even the bus driver was like, hey,
I love the shot of the kids coming, where like you don't see any of their faces. And I was actually thinking for the first like bit, I'm like, oh, did they like, did no one like allow their...
Everyone was like, I'm not sending my kid.
We won't allow our kids to be shown in this filth.
Maybe
but then,
that's why
then there's
only
a shot
like
of
12
them.
To 16 kids at this camp, because everyone was like, no fucking way.
Yeah, I know Camp Forest Green is just Camp Crystal Lake. Yeah.
People fucking died, but no, there were a few people who were like, I'll send my 8-year-old there, sure. Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
I'm sending my kid to space camp where there is no Jason.
There's no Jason and adults work there.
Yeah, exactly. But I was going to ask, yeah, I was curious. Like, I'm like, okay, so is this how, this surely this isn't how summer camps are run with two adults and then a bunch of teenagers.
I mean, it is the 80s. So maybe, you know.
Was the
80s. It was the 80s. No one cared
about
anything.
Welcome, kid. Here's your here's supervisor, a 14-year-old, and here's a carton of cigarettes.
Jackie,
and
a real knife. Counselor, what kind of activities would you do? Because in this movie, all we get is like, you know, and granted, you know, these kids are caught off guard. They're like, oh shit, the two adults are missing. What do we do?
It's
like,
and all the kids are here.
Well,
the
only I could activity show them some stuff I think, with rocks and I could.
Yeah, the only activity I think we get is like one of the camp counselors telling like a racist
story. Court still tells an offensive story.
That's like it.
Well, this camp was specifically like a theater kind of thing. So it was all very, because I went to really, this is also a camp that I went to. I was a huge nerd, but, there were a lot of structured classes of, well, it was cool shit. There was like stage combat and,
stage combat. That's
and,
fun.
History.
Did you have real swords?
Not real swords. Just like a movement class and stuff. This was some very
movement.
Is that
class.
Like is that like William Shatner combat in Star Trek?
Not quite that, but you're not too far off.
Did you do
again,
like the two handed hit to the shoulder?
Actually, yes, I'm pretty sure. My group that I was partially in charge of, but again, not fully in charge, because why would you put an 18-year-old in charge of children? But it was a group of 11 to 13-year-olds. Which is such a great age to look out for. And, mostly I was in charge of just herding them from place to place and entertaining them for like 5 minutes before the teachers showed up. And,
all right, kids, we're going to practice the evil Captain Kirk monologue today. Say after me, I am Captain Kirk.
I am Captain Kirk. Mostly it was... what did I try to teach them of the game where it's not even a game. It was me trying to get them to be quiet because that's
now we're going to play the game where everyone be quiet.
It's like, okay, so we're going to count to 10, but only one person can speak at a time. And if you speak at the same time, we have to start over. And,
You were 18 when you did this?
I was.
Was this just like on a kind of like a stage, like in an auditorium type setup? Or?
No, it was at like, it was the summer, so it was a school that like wasn't in use. But so we're using like the classrooms and such, and we did use like the auditorium.
Do you think?
And there was no Jason.
What do you think you would have done had a Jason showed up?
I would have the cops don't really do anything there, do they? But
things to do to protect a bunch of kids trying to get killed by a slasher.
Well, first of all, this was like a day camp, so this wouldn't be nighttime at all. But I think probably first of all we'd try to get the kids away from a murderer.
Would you have?
And not just put them in one room.
Would you have put all the kids in a room
and told them to
and
pray?
Then gotten like a chain link that you would tie around him and sink him into the bottom
I
of a
I would try to get a very big
lake.
Rock and
that rock? Where did
chain?
You get that rock?
Where did he
How
get
did
the
carry
rock?
That rock?
We're going to get supplies.
He rolled it. Hello.
The supplies being one very big chain. Anyway, I wouldn't really know what to do. I would probably, for all that I can critique the way women are generally written in these movies, but I would be screaming and crying too, and screaming for my dad.
Fallen mud.
Poor Megan.
Unable to get up.
Yeah, the head counselor immediately is just like, the mud!
What about
I'll give you my credit card.
I have a few. I thought one thing I thought was funny about this movie that I don't know if it ever really stood out to me before, but that scene with the two adult counselors getting killed by Jason, that guy, Tony Goldwyn, he pulls out the tiniest gun,
the most useless gun.
It looks like
to be a bit, right?
It looks like a gun that they'd have it like a track and field.
It only shoots blanks.
It doesn't bang so much as just pop, like pop, pop, you know.
And, like, Jason, who we know to be a zombie, they don't, but he's still, like, fucking 7 feet tall. And like,
I think the problem is, I don't think that gun would kill a normal person if they got shot by it.
No. It's just pellets in there. Come on.
I think the paint gun we see later does more damage.
Yes.
What a great scene, that paint. So is that just like in the middle of the movie? I feel like that's like so disconnected from everything else.
Retreat.
It's just like, I imagine like the makers of this movie just brainstorming, like, what would be a fun way to have Jason kill people?
Well,
like,
they
what
were
about
like,
if they're
we want
paintball?
Jason to get his hands on a machete. How do we make this work? There's a guy with a machete in the forest. Why is he there? He's on a company retreat. Reed and they're playing paintball. Let's go.
You're not too far off. I'm not quite sure about the whole like company getaway and the paintball team building thing portion, but I know for a fact that the couple that are just in the forest randomly, just I don't know if they got married or what their deal is.
Oh, they just got engaged and now they're gonna
literally inserted into the movie after the fact when they're like, oh guys, there's not enough like kills in this movie. We need to up the kill count. So they were literally inserted into the movie just to pump up the kill numbers.
They were like, now, and then Jason turns right and there's two people trying to fuck and he has to murder them.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not sure if it would make sense if that was the same case with the company retreat, because that is so non sequitur and so seemingly random that just like, you know, it's like, why doesn't he just get to the camp and start havoc there? It's like, no. We got to have some kills in between there. Like, so what do we got? Like, well, yeah. I gotta
also
tell you, on my normal day
old,
job, you know,
drunk.
I don't really like my boss. I've always fantasized about killing him in a paintball scenario. Let's put that into the movie.
First, we need to insert a scene where an angry guy talks about how much he hates a woman.
Dumb broad. She tricked me. God, they're gonna laugh for months. She should have stayed in the kitchen where she belongs. A woman shouldn't even be allowed in these gears. Not a game.
What I love about that too is like he follows protocol. He's like, all right, well, you got me. I better put on my vendetta that says I'm dead.
You are dead.
Even though I hate you, woman, I'm gonna.
I hate this broad. That's what he says.
I'm gonna follow the rules. I'm dead. You got me. So,
bitch.
She's their boss.
Yeah,
she's
and they all like openly hate her.
Yeah, she's like right behind him.
Anyway, but we did need to get Jason's hands on a machete, so that's how we did it. Because guess what? He lives.
I wonder if that's
He's
what
back.
It was. I wonder if it was a last minute script revision where it's like, wait a minute.
How did
guys.
He get the machete?
How did he get the machete?
How did he get his machete? We forgot about the machete.
We've been having him kill with a machete for like 40 minutes.
The people have to know. I mean, we see how
they're
he gets
question.
The hockey mask.
Yeah, it's everything. I mean, I know it's kind of funny because it's like, how do you walk that line of humor of it being like funny or just being stupid? Because it's like this company exec getaway paintball gun thing is just so weird, even for this movie. And it's just like this. Yeah, this is the scene that goes a little too far for me in the humor.
The paintball scene.
Yeah, mainly the smiley face. When he throws the sexless guy against the tree and he leaves behind a smiley face. That's one step too far for me.
Well, he left behind blood on a smiley face.
I enjoyed that. I could see that being like, okay, come on. This is Jason wouldn't do.
Jason wouldn't do that. Adjust my glasses.
Too mischievous.
Well,
too
no, but it leaves. It's you know, it leaves a perfect smiley face. You know, like a comical smiley face. Like that's the one bit of humor.
We're having
too
fun
far
here. He's back.
My favorite
He's
bit
the man
of humor
behind the mask.
I think this is intentional humor. Maybe not though, but I think it's the first kill in the camp. One of the first kills, anyway, towards the back third of the movie when he, like, goes into the camp. And he kills a woman in the cabin. And you see, like, the blood spatter on the window. And then you see her body come out the window. And then when the cops show up and open the door, the whole room is filled with blood.
It's painted red.
Like, it reminded me of Nightmare on Elm Street, the like the blood yeah. spatter and that, where it's like, there's more blood in here than a human body could contain. Certainly more than would be created from a murder.
There it is.
Good.
It makes
every
me wonder,
surface.
It makes me wonder if he brought in the body of the other girl he had just killed and just started like cutting him up and just spraying the blood everywhere, because it's like that is a lot of blood. And it's a
he does
cabin.
The one kill and he's like, no, it's not enough. I'll go get the other one. Yeah, I just really would like some more blood.
Yeah,
in
that's
here.
What he's doing when he's off screen.
He's getting his little scooter. Yeah, it's something I've always appreciated about Jason. He's a showman.
Yes, he appreciates panache.
He didn't have to put that severed head in the cop car for someone to find later. He did it because he has flair. He likes
it's because
flair.
He loves the game. He does it for the love of the game. As a zombie. I think that's my only question in the film is, what is Jason's level of sentience at this point? Does he know what he's doing? Is he a mindless zombie? Does he still hate horny people implicitly?
I saw in the
Chattopedia that the director of this movie, anyway, if you notice, there's no nudity in this. And I think this is the first one to not have
no
nudity.
Titties.
And that wasn't apparently the director was that was a choice, and part of that is he like didn't want this to be seen as a like moral panic, like don't have sex movie, because he thought that was like
corny.
Yeah, not what he wanted out of his Friday the 13th, which I can appreciate. I don't think there's any real rhyme or reason. I think it's just Jason loves killing.
Just loves the kill, I guess so. All right.
I don't know. I feel like. That moment when he's walking and suddenly stops when he sees the RV that's a rockin'. I think he puts two and
no.
two together. He's like, there's sex going on in there. I don't care if they're married or
not.
I've
got to kill them.
Well, I think he might just be like, oh, there's people there. Like, that's, you know. But yeah, that RV was really rockin'.
It was a rockin'. They were having the most movie sex of everyone's got all of their clothes on and we're dancing like on top of each other.
Well, it was funny. She was like pulling on like
his weird little tank top.
His little tank top, like the handles, and just like going back and forth.
She's just having fun.
They were having like exercise sex. It was more like exercise because they were.
She's like,
yeah, and he was like, they were like, I hope you can keep this up for the whole song. How long is it? 10 more minutes. We're listening to weird prog rock.
Has anyone ever I mean, I've had sex with music on before.
I've had sex, okay?
No, I'm just the idea of, I mean, that seems very specific. Like, let's have sex to
have
the
song.
Have
you ever been to a summer camp in the
80s? You have to time it to this song.
You have to time it to the song. So that's, I mean,
that's just a lot
guys,
of work.
But I don't keep a consistent, like, super.
You gotta check your watch the whole time.
Well, you gotta check yourself, man. You're gonna kill yourself. You don't need Jason to come and kill you. You're gonna kill yourself having too vigorous of sex. Come on, this ain't the '80s, guys. Well, this is the '80s, but
I guess this is the '80s. But
anyway,
you know.
As you were.
This is how people died in the '80s. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was too vigorous.
I think that was a big problem back in the '80s. I think lots of people were dying. And thankfully, that doesn't happen.
Thankfully,
anymore.
Jason came and killed them.
It was those damn workout videos. They were the problem. It was.
And that's what Jason hates.
They set too high a pace. You can't keep up, and it kills you.
God damn you, Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons and Jane Fonda. It's all their fault. Anyway,
the blood's on your hands.
Can we talk about the hamsters?
Yeah, what was up with those fucking hamsters?
Was that just like
the camp
were all
hamsters.
The shots of the hamsters like was it intentional that they're like, is he gonna kill the hamsters? It's like something's gonna happen because there's so many shots lingering on the hamsters. I thought surely something was gonna happen with them, but nothing.
No, it's just regular normal camp hamsters. You know those.
Like, are we supposed to think Jason's gonna kill the hamsters at some point?
Are we supposed to think that Jason's gonna kill the kids? That was a question I had.
I guess maybe it's wrapped up together of like these, you know, innocence in the children and
Jason
the animals.
Jason wouldn't kill kids. He's not a monster.
Only going to kill terrible, terrible middle-aged teenagers.
He has standards.
And cops.
Well, it kind of...
Jason says a cab.
Well, it's just like, it's kind of, it almost, the way that shot is when he walks in, when Jason walks into that cabin with the girl who's having like nightmares, it literally like shows him walking the whole length of the cabin. And he stops at the fireplace looking forwards. He's not even looking at the kids. It's almost as if he went into this cabin like, all right, where are the teenagers at? You know, and he's just kind of looking over the kids. And then he only stops and turns around when he realizes that the one little girl is awake. And then he just kind of like peers at her and that's it. Like, I don't think he was going to kill any of those kids.
No, I agree. I think Jason...
He's got standards.
Well, he also has, like, weird kid stuff, and, like, that's part of his backstory. Yeah. Maybe he's like, oh, the kids don't deserve
that. He's like, I was a kid the first time I died. I don't want that to happen to these kids.
Yeah, the first time I died, I was a kid. I remember.
The kids are innocent. Yeah, so...
How many times has Jason died, by the way?
At this point, when he lives. Many.
Well, I mean, I guess if you count his death... His supposed death as a kid that
which
might
I
be
do.
Chalked up as a death. There's the second movie when he gets stabbed with the machete, like in the shoulder, like that probably should have killed him. Mm-hmm. Third movie, he gets the axe to the head, that should have killed him. Fourth movie, he gets the machete to the head, and then he gets butchered by the machete, that should have killed him. So
and he's buried for 20 years.
A handful of deaths, presumably, but. Which actually, that reason, and by the way, folks, like, we're not really going, I think we've abandoned any linear discussion of this movie. We're just going to jump around.
It's impossible to, it's just a bunch of kills.
But I have a
Jason
question.
Lives and then he kills. The only thing you need to know is he lives.
Plot-wise, there's not much going on in these
this
movies.
This movie could have been edited, like, 10 different ways.
And it would have had the same result.
Choose your own adventure. Jason's going to kill.
I had a question about the axe to the head. I mentioned that in the third movie he gets, and you didn't see this movie, Mike, but he got an axe to his head in the third movie, which permanently left like an axe mark in the top portion of his forehead or whatever,
okay.
Which remains for the rest of the series. But here's the question. He doesn't have his mask when he's buried. Tommy Jarvis goes to the trouble of bringing a hockey mask with a axe cut in it. So is Tommy Jarvis like, hold on, this movie has this
Tommy Jarvis has problems.
Yeah, Tommy Jarvis is like kind of into Jason.
He's forever obsessed with Jason.
Tommy Jarvis, it's so much so where I took, like, I was watching this movie, and for the first time, I'm like, they could have got another route with this movie. This could have been one of those horror movies where it's like the guy we think is the protagonist is actually the antagonist. He's you know, like, he could have been like a split personality. He's so obsessed with Jason, like, you know, and anytime Jason isn't around, it's actually Tommy killing people.
Isn't that what the cops think? Is that they think Tommy
that
is
Tommy
like
has
lost
become
it
this like copycat.
Yeah.
Because of he's a sick boy.
It's like they could have done a different way with it. I feel like it's like, can you explain where you were? He's like, you know, like that could have been interesting, I think. I don't know. It could have been a way to salvage that whole plot line from.
But is it better than the reanimated corpse of Jason?
It is not. You're absolutely right.
Think of how bummed you were, and you were just saying how, like, part five, you were bummed that
it
wasn't
actually Jason. It was just some guy. And this time, Jason lives. He's back.
Yeah, Jason
lives,
damn it.
He's the man behind the mask.
That's true.
And he's coming
for
you.
He's the man behind the mask.
And he's coming for you.
That's what part five should have been, and then they could have brought Jason back.
Turning that into like a David Bowie song. He's the man behind
the mask.
Speaking of
and
Jason.
He's coming for you.
What did you guys think of Jason's huntsman attire in this movie?
Yeah, it was spooky. It was he buried in that like weird jumpsuit?
He got new clothes at some point.
Yeah, he did. Was it from the paintball people?
Or maybe that, or he does kill that groundskeeper, and that's kind of some groundskeeper wear. The old drunk.
Great bum action. Just like a wandering like movie guy with like a flask. And there's like good line where he's like stumbling drunk in the woods, and he drinks the last bit of his bottle, and he's like, "You're gonna be the death of me, sweetheart." Look into the bottle, and then Jason breaks the bottle and stabs him.
First, he throws the bottle, but we don't hear it land, and we turn around, and who caught it? Jason did.
While we're here, I want to discuss our favorite kills in this movie. For me, This is my favorite kill in the movie, and I'll tell you why. It's because Jason is so nonchalant in the way he kills this guy. He catches the bottle, and then it's just he just slowly brings it down, pops it, breaks it with his both his hands, and just kind of stabs the guy.
Yeah, he just like snaps it in half.
He just kind of like he doesn't even care. Just and then just does it. It's just the way he does it is so nonchalant. It's my favorite kill in the movie because it's just so throwaway. You know.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Well, I think my favorite is the one I referenced earlier where he just goes into the room and you see the blood splatter later. But if we're talking like actual kills, I do like both the kills with the head counselors when they're in the car. Like that whole scene is good, and like him getting out with the little tiny gun and then Jason just like killing him immediately, and then killing the when the woman falls in the mud and she
can't get up.
Very like, oh, like just get up, like, but she's of course she can't get up because
she's walking calmly
Friday
towards
the
me
13th. Yeah. Just flailing in the mud, and then is like, I'll give you, here's my American Express card, and just like poof, and then
Jason
the shot
doesn't
of her
care
holding
about
the card.
Jason's do you have any frequent flyer miles I can use?
I don't take Amex.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
No one takes Amex.
This is useless.
I would say, even though Michael kind of already pointed it out, because in my mind it goes into the comic when the death that we see later as having painted blood all over the room, but in the actual death, when we like cut to outside and we see blood splattering on the window, and then the counselor's body goes through the window, and it's such an obvious dummy, and it goes through the
it's so
through this
funny. It's just
shitty
like,
window, and
it's
then
so
Jason
obviously someone just like tossing up,
and then Jason dummy. Comes back through and grabs it again, like pulls it back in, and it's I'm just picturing the guy who's like, all right, now toss the dummy over there. All right, come get it. All right. It's good. I like it.
The only thing that would have made that better is if the dummy's leg like flipped up and was like suddenly above
yeah.
its head.
Yeah. just that level of, that's what I want.
Boom mic gets in the shot.
It's like an obvious wig on it that's like flying around. That's all I want.
What about when he lights the lake on fire?
That's pretty what the fuck.
He poured gasoline.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
That works.
And as we talked about, this quote-unquote crystal lake is very grimy.
Well, as we're on that, let's discuss his plan, his shitty, shitty plan, which he doesn't
it's
come up with until
plan.
He goes to Boris Karloff's general store and gets some random books. Like, for instance,
yeah, where
Manual
you get necromancy books.
Yeah, so he had no plan. Like, he's
yeah,
just
based
on
those
on
books,
fly.
You would expect him to do some sort of like weird summoning ritual or something. But he's reading, yeah, like Manual of the Occult. What is it like? Oh, get a rock and chain and
just
dump it in the lake.
Yeah, it's this. Even as a kid, this was always like weird to me. I because you got to figure it's like, well. Surely, if you're Tommy Jarvis, you're kicking yourself right now because you're like, ah, shit, I could have just left him buried and none of this would have happened and all these deaths wouldn't be on my hands.
I mean, once again, yeah, the blood is on Tommy's hands.
So it makes you wonder, it's like, so his plan is to, he knows Jason is a zombie, he knows Jason is superpowered now, his plan is to, like, get a chain around his neck, dump him in the lake, the 10-foot-deep lake, and just leave him there, knowing that he's still going to be alive in the lake?
Yeah, he's still a fucking zombie, dude.
Yeah.
This was really your plan?
It's not going to kill him. It's just going to keep him there at best. So it's like, Tommy
I
is
mean,
terrible.
He's only thinking short term, yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck, Tommy Jarvis? If this was Corey Feldman, Tommy Jarvis, it'd probably be a different story. But no, it's this guy.
This is some fucking guy.
That's like could be the subtitle of like Friday the 13th, part 6, Jason Lives, : what the fuck, Tommy Jarvis?
Tommy Jarvis. Jeez.
Tommy, come on.
Tabby.
I'll say this, though. As dumb as his plan is, it does result in one of the cooler moments of gore in the movie when
the
boat propeller.
Oh.
The chunky water from that propeller.
Yeah, like when she, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but the Chattopedia says that whole climax, like the underwater portion, was shot in the director's mother's pool.
Oh, wow.
So imagine you're this guy's mom. Your son comes in like, hey, mama, we got to pick up some insert
shots. Can we borrow the pool?
Can we borrow the pool for a little bit? Oh, sure, son. What are you going to do? Like, oh, nothing crazy.
Don't worry about it.
We are going to light it on fire.
We're going to light it on fire. We're going to like dump a bunch of like, you know, meat products and stuff like into your
red dye.
Red dye.
That's cool, right?
But it was worth it. You know what I mean? You got to sacrifice your mother's pool for art. Because
how
like
you do?
When the propeller goes into like the side of his face or his neck or whatever it is, when you hear that pop and all that crap comes out, that was pretty cool. That was pretty gnarly, I thought.
It was pretty cool.
In a movie that's pretty much not devoid of gore or blood, but like it's definitely scaled back. Like it's not really what they're going for. They're going for zaniness in this movie, not over the top like gore necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely the most gruesome death, and it makes sense that you give it to the bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, there are gruesome moments. I mean, you get a lot of severed limbs in this movie that you see like on the ground and stuff. But
yeah,
I mean,
but even those are like that's a plastic
prop. I mean, that's a Star Wars. I mean, you can have a severed limb in a Star Wars movie, and that's PG. So. I'm trying to think. I think the heart in the beginning, Tommy's friend getting like the Kano fatality is probably the goriest moment.
Yeah. Besides the chunky water.
Yeah.
Besides chunky water. But it's interesting because ordinarily with these movies, like I think Mike and I, we were discussing in part two that movie like felt severely neutered. Like there was no gore. We were all kind of like, what the hell?
It's all like implied or...
Yeah, whereas in this movie, I don't mind its absence really at all because the movie is doing something else, and you know, to kind of take the place of the gore, and I'm liking what it's doing.
Yeah, and it's enough. I think.
Yeah,
a good amount, a tasteful amount.
It was a tasteful amount of silly slasher slash.
Well, I mean, did you guys have any other like kind of what the fuck moments with this movie? Or? Like I said, there's not a lot of story to talk about in this movie.
It wasn't a what the fuck movie, but I think it's what the fuck moment, I should say. It's when the, I guess it's when the cops find the head camp counselors who were killed, and they're like, you better get down here, chief. There's a couple of counselors dead, and it's Jason's M.O., and my question is, what is Jason's MO?
People up? Like
it seems to be like a lot of head based, like stabbing people like through the skull or like twisting their head off or crushing it between his hands. So is he just trying to like destroy the heads of people? But he seems to also just kind of kill whoever he wants. Anyway.
Yeah. I do question whether Jason has a discernible MO. Or maybe they're just like
in general.
Yeah, just
dead camp counselors.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it's Jason's MO. These guys work for a camp.
It's Jason and Jason's MO. These dead people are dead.
These dead people were going to have sex with each other.
I could tell, Chief.
Well, I had a few other what the fuck moments. This one.
Go for it.
regarding specifically 80s fashion. I don't remember her name, but the counselor who's wearing a cut off football jersey with sweatpants held
with
up by
suspenders like under the shirt.
Under
the shirt. It was very confusing to me. I don't know what to tell you, man. They had some strange ideas back then.
Like, did it? I'm looking at it. I'm like, I'm trying to look at the functionality of that.
Go?
And I'm just like, huh? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but most sweatpants have the little, you know.
They're soft, so they're held up with a string.
Yeah, they have the little string that you cinch. You know what I mean? Was she missing her string? Like, that just.
Yeah, maybe she lost the string. She's like, I got to keep them up somehow. My casual sweatpants, I got to keep them up.
I don't know. I thought they were cool.
Also, and further 80s fashion, the whole idea of cut out jeans so that your knees stick
court
completely court. Cut out. But it was the line like, doesn't your mom own any?
Yeah, does your mom have a sewing machine?
Like, I'm wondering when that fad died out. I don't remember. I vaguely remember. As
I mean,
a kid,
that one
like
comes
some,
and goes.
I just don't get it. Like, you know what it was? It was probably the precursor to jorts.
Everyone cut their pants up and they're like, what do I do with this now? I guess I'll just have some jorts.
It's a weird thing. Yeah, I can't for the life of me imagine wearing that. Like, can you imagine if I just showed up at the store one day and was just wearing jeans like that? Like,
I'd ask if your mom has a sewing machine, which is a normal thing to
exactly.
say.
That would be my first question.
Doesn't your mom have a sewing machine?
I would be like, you better get on some company mandated, sweats with suspenders or something. Something like company, okayed or something.
You awful teen.
All right, did you have any more what the fuck moments, Dave?
Yeah, have you guys ever seen a traffic sign that said speeding with
question
marks?
Oh my God.
Speeding question mark? You're right. I was wondering what.
We're watching that.
Is
and
it
it's,
a bit? And if so, what's the bit?
What
I don't
is
get
the bit?
It.
Because my brain read that sign as like, speeding? Huh? Like it's offering you that.
It has to be a bit somehow, right? That's not a real sign.
I hope not, because if you're in a car, you don't know what that means.
Well, it's almost like a sarcastic. I kind of read it almost like a sarcastic sign, like speeding much.
It's so weird.
Don't speed. What does that mean? I should speed? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a what the fuck moment, all right.
That's a good one.
You guys got any?
I mean, I don't know if this is a WTF moment, but. It's cool that Jason lives at the end of this.
I like that he lives.
That he's chunked up, he's in the bottom of the lake, but he, of course his eyes open.
But the name of the game is he lives.
Someone's going to let him out of that chain.
Yeah.
He's going to get out of that chain.
It almost has like a comic book like or Batman 66 feel to it. Like, I'll get you, Tommy Jarvis.
Yeah. I'll be back next time.
Yeah, I like that.
Jason will return.
It has that quality to it, and I like that it does that. That it doesn't. It doesn't pull a Batman 89 and immediately kill the Joker. It's like, no, you want to bring that character back at some point in the future.
What what's the next one? Is it? So I'm assuming it's 7. What's the subtitle?
Bold assumption.
Like what happens in that one?
So Friday the 13th Part 7, the new blood. Excuse me. That's the one. I think I may have brought this up in the last Friday the 13th episode we did, but that's the one where they basically have, for all intents and purposes, Jason versus Carrie.
Okay, it's so we get a spooky girl.
It's a girl with telekinetic powers. Who has a run-in with Jason, which I don't know if we'll get to that one in the next episode we do, the next Friday the 13th episode, but it also gets into the troubled timeline of this series. With Part 7.
Oh, perfect.
Love it.
If you thought the timeline was fucked up in this one, wait until you get to Part 7. That raises lot of questions about this series' timeline. But
I expect nothing else.
But if I have any more praise for this movie, it's that I like that... Other than everything we've already mentioned, I like that it involves a character that's like, his whole thing is about stopping Jason from the get-go. It's not everyone reacting to Jason killing people. It's someone from the start knowing about Jason, wanting to
deal
with
Jason.
We got
a Jason expert.
Yeah.
Exactly. Even though it's a little hampered by the fact that he fucks up instantly, and for the entire movie, he's essentially out of the movie. He's in jail, so that kind of hinders it a little bit. But I like that the idea that there's a character in the movie that his whole goal is to kill Jason, and it's not just people reacting and getting killed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I agree.
That was nice. That was a nice little change.
It was.
Anywho.
He's back.
He's back, folks. The man behind the mask
is back.
The
man behind the mask, and he's coming for you.
I don't know if, did we mention this? Like, that song is like the only song on the radio. Like, you hear it, like, anytime there's a radio in the scene, that
there
song
was
is
that
playing.
One, but there was also the for the movie, maybe it was the same one, but the young, it's like Teenage Frankenstein. And that also was like, I was dead,
that's
and then the
song.
Lightning
that's
hit
a different
me.
Alice Cooper song.
And I love to kill people.
Yeah, it's like so specific. Like,
and then Jason
yeah.
comes up and kills
I was
people.
In a corpse box, and then corpse the lightning box. Hit me.
And now I got a kill.
And he brought me the hockey mask.
And Court's driving a RV, and he's like, yeah, babe, I love this.
What are you taking a dump?
Oh, man. We didn't really talk. Oh, that's. We didn't really talk about Court in full. So
that's
his Court
guy.
Well, first off, I'm glad that he died, but like, have you guys ever? He is having so much fun riding that RV.
Like, he loved that RV for like
he loved it.
Like, 30
I don't
seconds.
I think I've loved anything as much as this guy loved driving this RV. Like,
cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, was he on drugs? Because he kept repeating,
must have
like,
been.
This is great. This is great. Wow.
I'm love, having a great time.
Wow, babe. I love it. You
I've never driven
dump?
A house before, but I can get used to this. That's pretty cool. That's it.
This is, wow. Speakers are great, bro.
Babe.
Have you yeah. guys ever driven an RV before? Maybe it's something
no.
I'm missing out on. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it rules.
Yeah, have you ever lived? No, I've
would
never
just,
driven an RV.
I would
it
be
sounds
too afraid
scary.
To drive.
It sounds stressful.
Yeah. Yeah, it just sounds like a pain.
Like, I can't imagine trying to back up into a parking space or something like that. Just, you know,
take a turn.
Taking a turn or just reversing for anything. Just looking at the mirrors like, ah, shit, I can't really see behind me. Oh, fuck. Like, you know, the dee, dee, dee. That noise drives me insane. That if
And
I
then on
that
top
noise,
of that,
goes through
Jason
the
is there. Like, yeah. No, thank you.
Although
and there could be a Jason in the back of the RV and you wouldn't even know.
Yeah, man. Although Jason
wouldn't
did
even
do
know.
Him a favor by stopping the sex romp. His heart could have exploded.
It's very true.
You know, there's like
Jason's
five more,
just
10 more
looking
minutes
out
left
for
in the
you.
Song. So yeah, Jason was looking out in that point. But
you're
well,
not gonna make
he did
it.
Did kill him.
This is for you. Sleep,
well,
sweet prince.
Well, it's because Jason noticed. Like, I don't see no wedding ring on that finger, buddy.
That's what it was.
You gotta die.
I'm gonna flip this RV.
Fucking hate premarital sex.
Like a cool guy. And then get in my scooter and go back to
go
camp.
Go on my little scooter so I can keep doing my dark deeds.
Yeah, how far away do you think they were from the camp at that point? maybe a scene you didn't see is Jason hitchhiking, like, after that explosion.
Yes, he does have to bum a ride.
Back to the camp.
Just politely sitting in the back seat. It was like an old lady driving. So, what brings you to Camp Forest Green? You know, it used to be called Camp Crystal Lake.
People died there.
I imagine it's the setup, the shot is an old lady and her husband or something, and Jason is just in the back center, the back seat in the center. That's the shot.
And he doesn't kill them because they're married.
Exactly. Well, unless you guys had anything else, I think that'll about do it for this obligatory Friday the 13th episode.
Yes, it will.
Jason
and
lives.
Jason,
and you know
lives.
What, Mike? I felt a little bad. I know you didn't want to be here. You weren't able, like, Ryan beat you to the PTO. You weren't able to take PTO and take this day off. Like, I get that you didn't want to be here. I appreciate that you stuck through it.
It should have been aquamarine.
Well, I'm gonna do you a little favor this time, Mike. I appreciate that you sat through, that you gritted your teeth, you got through it. Next Friday the 13th, you will, of course, be forced to do the episode. That's
okay.
But,
obviously.
But, to show my appreciation for you doing the episode, even though, you know, you kind of got forced into it, Ryan kind of fucked you, our next installment of Friday the 13th will be Jason X.
Yes!
We're skipping 7, 8, and 9. We're going to space, Mike.
We're going to
10. I've been waiting for this.
So next Friday, mark your calendars. Next Friday the 13th, Apocalypse Video.
Going to space, baby.
Going to space. Nice.
Thanks for listening, folks. Leave us a comment or rating on Apocalypse Video on our Twitter or our Instagram. Or you can shoot us an email, apocalypsevideopod@gmail.com. What are your favorite Jason kills? We want to know. That's going to do it, folks.
And remember, the man behind the mask.
He's coming for you.
And he's back.
He's back.
Teenage Frankenstein.
You're with your baby and you're parked alone on a summer night. You're deep in love, but you're deeper in the woods. You think you're doing all right. Did you hear that voice? Did you see that face? Or was it just a dream? This can't be real. That only happens, babe, on the movie screen.
Court, you didn't already.
Oh, come on, wasn't that the end of the song?
Great.
Great.